Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Greetings, you're listening to Way of the Dreamer. This is Robert Mouse. It's the show where we celebrate dreams, synchronicity, and imagination, things that we often discount in our lives but are sources of fun and guidance and healing whenever we pay attention. Wonderful guest today, Julie Tamburello. She's one of our teachers of active dreaming. She's a lively and creative spirit, one of my favorite dream teachers. Hi, Julie.
Hey, Robert.
So we're just going to have fun, and I thought one of the things we might do to start off with is see whether you and I have a dream or something like a dream, a story we could share with each other so we can work our lightning dream work process and show people how that goes and how much fun it is to do. So I don't really have a dream or story for me, but I have one for you.
Okay, great.
So you're going to be my guide and teacher, yes?
Yes, that'd be great.
So pretend that I'm just sort of coming in off the street and ask me if I've got something I want to tell you.
All right. Hey, Robert, do you have a dream you'd like to tell me about?
Oh, thanks for asking, Julie. Well, it's from a few weeks ago. Is that okay?
Yeah, sure. It's got energy. It's great.
All right. So I'm going to tell you the dream, and you can ask me for a title afterwards because that's what people, you know, believe people to come up with titles, but normally they don't understand that story should have titles. So I'm just going to tell you the story, and you're going to take me through the steps of our simple, fun process. And by the way, if you're tuning into this kind of thing for the first time, we are about to demonstrate something that makes it safe and fun and okay to tell dreams or personal stories just about anywhere to just about anyone. So I'll stop sounding as if I know it all, and let Julie be the know-it-all and tell her my story. So Julie, here's a story for you. So I'm in a ceremony in the dream. I'm performing ceremony. I'm with a wonderful group of indigenous people. The feeling is very Native American, but also maybe ancient European. It might be that these indigenous people are from both the old world and the new world. So in the group is a woman whose associations with the four directions are different from mine. She has different attributions in terms of the elements and the symbols and so on of the four directions. Example, she places wolf. Wolf is very important to her. Woo! She places wolf in the east. So for me, this is the direction of the air, and I don't quite get why she thinks wolf is in the east, but it's okay. We have different ways of seeing these things, seeing the associations of the four directions, for example, but it's fine. We're getting on really well. We're becoming really good friends. We recognize that despite our difference of tradition and practice, we can get it on together. We can do just fine. So the ceremony goes on, and there's a climactic moment. There's a fire ritual coming up now, and it's a bit beyond any fire ceremony I have ever organized in ordinary life. In this fire ceremony, certain volunteers are going to lie down on wooden platforms, and they are going to be burnt. They're going to be burnt. Their bodies are going to be burnt. They're going to be burnt alive. That's what's going to happen. And I am one of the volunteers, and I'm very happy and honored to be one of those who is about to be burnt, Julie. This is what's happening. A woman, maybe the woman that I like, who's slightly different in tradition, lies down on a platform on planks beside me, and as I look at her, I'm thinking, well, it looks as if we're lying in very shallow coffins or maybe flatboats with, you know, rather low sides. There we are. And I understand that when my body is burnt, when our bodies are burnt, the energy released is going to help lots and lots and lots of people. And I'm more than ready to give up my body in this fire ceremony, I can already see a tremendous stream of electric blue fire that will be generated by this burning. And the singing begins now. And the voices of the native choir are achingly beautiful. I'm so moved, moved in my soul by the depth of their love. The singing reminds me of something from long ago in my far memory of a birth funeral that preceded my coming into this world. So that's why I exit the dream.
Wow, that's great. So can you get a title for the dream?
I did have a title, and so the title is The Fire People Are Ready to Burn.
Huh. All right. And how did you feel when you woke up from the dream?
I felt happy. I felt exultant. Even felt triumphant. So, you know, it's not one of those dreams where you're about to be burnt alive and you're nervous about it. I'm ready to go.
Yeah. Did you have an intent before you fell asleep that night?
I don't think I set an intent, although I note that this is a few weeks ago. I was dreaming this the night before I led a deep training in active dreaming in a European country. So, as always, when I'm on the eve before a new workshop or training, probably my intent was to dream something for the benefit of the whole group.
Mm-hmm. And what do you recognize in the dream?
Well, there's a strong Native American quality to the group, but not only, not exclusively Native American. The woman connected with the wolf reminds me of a woman connected with the wolf from my mythic life, the woman I've mm-hmm. called Island Woman in my writings. There's a Native mm-hmm. American teacher who lived some time ago, and she's the mother of the wolf clan. And when she calls me or talks to me, often a white wolf appears. I'm not sure it's a white wolf in the dream, but I associate some of this with her, with her connection with the wolf tribe. I sort of have the feeling in terms of reality check that the dream is both playing on the literal and the symbolic key. I mean, I felt it's actually a preparation for the time when my body will be cremated, which is what I've mm-hmm. determined to do with this body. I'm not going to be buried. I'm going to be burnt. And the idea that when that moment comes, whenever that is, that some energy could be generated that might do some good is a lovely idea for me. But I also see it symbolically as a dream in terms of my mythic life and my farm memories of the virtue of a certain kind of sacrifice in which somebody who's in a position of power sometimes chooses to release his or her energy for the benefit of the group. And I felt really blessed to be connected with that kind of traditional way of understanding things. So those were some of my connections with the dream in terms of the life of my imagination and also my visionary connection with a woman of the wolf clan.
So you kind of touched on this a little bit, but could this potentially play out in the future?
Well, I think it's actually literally a rehearsal for my cremation when I give up this sack of beaten bones and put it in a crematory, which is what I'm being taught to call a crematorium. And it really sustains me in my idea that burning the body is a good way to go. So there's mm-hmm. that literal aspect. I don't expect that to happen tomorrow, but on the other hand, whenever it happens, it will make me cheerful about seeing this body go that way. In terms mm-hmm. of releasing energy in a more symbolic way or a more, you know, non-crematory way for people, I like mm-hmm. the idea that I might be prepared, I seem to be prepared in the dream, to make the gift, I mean, to give mm-hmm. energy to people in a way, something like this.
Mm-hmm. And what is wolf to you? Can you just describe it?
Well, the wolf we talk about power animals and totems and so on. Although I don't regard wolf as a totem or a dominant power animal in my life, wolf has been very, very important to me. Wolf has been very important, particularly since I started living in North America and connected with, as you know, a woman who was mother of the wolf clan from some time ago, born Huron, raised Mohawk, becomes the Mohawk mother of the wolf clan. And I have learned about wolf and the gifts of wolf shamanically many, many times. I know that wolf is a highly social animal, hence forget the dog. This is a domesticated wolf. I know that wolf can read what is right and wrong in a social situation, who's for real and who is not, who is ill and who is sick, and all the rest of that. So I have great respect for wolf in nature and as a shamanic power animal, but I don't regard wolf as a dominant animal in the sense that we talk about animal guardians in my life. However, wolf has often been there when I've needed help and support in different situations, and I travel in various countries, including European countries, which have a great history with the wolf. I travel in Romania, for example, and we talk about vampires in Romania, but actually Romania is the country of the werewolf. Ancient Dacian warriors who beat off the Roman armies identified with the wolf and invoked the killing ability and the tracking ability of the wolf to go into battle. So I do have a lot of associations, a lot of connections with the wolf as an animal shamanically, and I have great respect for it in nature as an animal that knows what's what.
Mm-hmm. And one last, like, reality check question. Did you recognize the singing, the song that was being sung by the people?
I can't tell you what it is, but I do have this far memory. It's played in my life from as far back as I can remember, mm-hmm. of coming into this body, into this world from somewhere else, and a morning party, morning singers, singing as my then self walks the path of blue lotus petals, on the way to coming into a body in this world, and the music that is playing, the songs that they are singing, are so almost unbearably beautiful. The only music like this that I know in ordinary reality in this world is fado, the sort of soul singing of Portuguese tradition, and some of the doinas, which are the sort of soul songs of Romanian, Southeast European tradition. These are songs that tease the soul, that pluck at the soul. But I can't say, you know, it's not Yellow Submarine. It's not a track you can put on an iPod and play.
Right. Well, Robert, what do you want to know about the dream?
Well, I just like your first feelings about it, really.
Okay, sure. Well, if it's my dream, the first thing I think about is the fact that these are, from everything that I heard, that this is like indigenous Native American, but kind of European. And I wonder if maybe what this is for me is possibly a potential rehearsal for what may come, the time when I do leave my body. And I'm wondering if this is maybe foretelling of that it may be happening to me when I'm in Europe, you know. Or the other thing I think about is maybe this is leading me to me it feels very much like a portal. I've actually done like a journey before where I lead people into a fire, they transform into energy, go far out into the universe, and then are called back by a fire, you know, centuries later, and they become the ancestors that walk out of the fire and speak to people. So I'm wondering if maybe this is a dream that's being given to me to lead people into a journey using it. So those are my first impressions of it. To me, wolf, you know, I'm sitting in my room right now, and I have a picture up in front of me and several of my power animals. One of them is wolf, actually, and if I were looking at directions, wolf would be on the east. And wolf has, you know, been there for me when I needed kind of fierce strength and protection, just to kind of be by my side. And so, you know, if I were about to head into death, of all the several power animals that I have, wolf would be the one that I would want with me for that strength and guidance into the next world.
That strikes very deep. And you remind me as you speak, Julie, that wolf has been a great helper, great assistant, great guide for me in many respects in my life, in my visionary life, and that the dog, which is, if you like, the domesticated wolf, has been even more important. I mean, I look to the dog, particularly the black dog, in my dreams and visions as a very consummate guide, a remarkable guide. But all the stuff about the fire ceremony, the fire calling people in certain ways, when we discussed the reality check, I didn't say very much about the fact that I often hold fire ceremonies. You've been mm-hmm. to some of them. And mm-hmm. in my dream life, in my visionary life, there have been extraordinary moments when a fire ceremony which I participated has actually changed my life in the dream and then physical life flowing from the dream. And one of those turning point dreams in my life, I found myself at a fire ceremony where red-hot coals were laid over various parts of my body, over my eyes, my ear, my mouth, over my heart, and I was transformed and brought back. That was a turning point dream. This is a turning point dream in another sense, I think. I think it is all the things that you said. I think it's a possible rehearsal for coming situation. But I also think, as you say, it's a journey portal. It's one through which I can travel again. It's one in which it might be interesting to invite a whole group of people to participate, see what we can give, how we can become and muster and use the electric blue fire that is streaming through from the dream. Those are very good comments. Thank you.
Yeah, and I'm really drawn to the seeing aspect of it as well. And I think, you know, if I were leading people on this journey to be able to find or hear or to connect to their personal song, you know, what was that song that called me into this world and then will help, you know, transition me into the next one. So,
that's very good, too. The song is actually my favorite tool for journeying. I mean, I have songs of my own. Often I sing them or hum them without the words. They often have words, but not always. And some of these songs are what native people call wing songs, which are songs that get you ready for the journey. When I had to study Mohawk, because Mohawk language was my dream, I learned that in that language, the word for song, which sounds like gahahana, means I am putting forth my power. So in indigenous and ancient understanding, a song might be the perfect vehicle to get you going, the perfect gift of a dream, some way of bringing power from the dream world into the physical world. So the singing, yes, the singing is vitally important. And I would love, in practical terms as an action plan, to find more songs, more music, more sonics to use in the gatherings, the workshops, the ceremonies I need to help people journey together.
If it were my dream, one of the things I would definitely want to do would be to go back in and talk to this woman that's lying next to me. I mean, what does she mean to me? Why is she here next to me? And why is she choosing, you know, to transform or leave at this time as well by choice? So I would want to find out more about that by going back into the dream.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, Robert, what action plan do you have with this dream?
Well, I will look for this woman again. I'll look for whether she exists in some body, in some form in my present life. I'll look for more songs. I mean, I sometimes am gifted with a song from a dream. You've heard me sing some of them. You've heard whole groups sing them. I know that others are gifted by that. I had a message just before we spoke today from a musician who was interested in bringing more songs and more music from his dreams into the world. So I'll be alert to that. And I will probably at some point add to my will some further statement about what I would like to be going on when this body is given to the flames in the crematory. I'll probably do that practical step as well.
So what's your bumper sticker?
I run on electric blue fire.
Oh. Nice. I like that.
Yeah.
Wow.
I had some more recent dreams I might have shared, including a very happy one last night involving you and me, but I thought I'd take this one from a few weeks ago. And you just demonstrated, Julie, with your normal precision and verve and grace, what fun it is to do what we call the lightning dreamwork process. Let me just say to our listeners, if you're new to this, Julie effortlessly and painlessly took us through a four-step process. If you're playing guide or helper or friend to somebody who has a dream or a story to share, because you can do this with any material, it's good to have a way of guiding them which makes it safe, makes it fun, makes it quick to get something done. And the lightning dreamwork technique, which I first demonstrated and tested up on a mountain in New York Adirondacks, where Julie has come several times back in 2000, has four steps, and they were just played out right now. And let me just take a moment for our listeners to explain what Julie did. The first step is to get the person who has a dream or something to share to tell the story reasonably clearly and coherently and simply, and then give it a title. Julie asked me for a title. Then you ask some basic questions. You might ask quite a few, but basically there are three main questions that you ask. One is, how do you feel about this? What are your first feelings around it? The second is the reality check, what you recognize from this and the rest of your life, and could any of it happen in the future? That can, of course, lead to an extended discussion, but basically it's the reality check question, what you recognize could happen in the future. Then you ask the dreamer or the storyteller what you want to know. Then you do what Julie did. You say, if it were my dream, you'd think about such and such. These are my feelings around this. Then you try to get some kind of an action plan, because we want to bring energy from the deeper world into ordinary life. That's the essence of real magic, to bring gifts from one world into this world, and we do that in terms of dream work when we come up with an action plan. Dreams require action. Julie got an action plan out of me. It involves several things I haven't done yet, even though the dream came a while ago and I have shared it with another group that's done something. And then if for temporary closure, we ask for a bumper sticker, a snapper, a one-liner, a personal mantra that will carry things forward. So that's what Julie did right then and there as a wonderful dream teacher. So Julie, in a moment, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to look to you to see whether you'd like to share a dream or a story with me so we can continue the fun. Would that be okay?
Yeah, most definitely.
All right, so you're listening to Where the Dream with Robert Noss. Our wonderful guest is Julie Tamborella. She's in Ann Arbor, Michigan, a great place. She hosts workshops for me from time to time, usually once a year. We're doing one again early next year. You can find it soon enough on my website, mossdreams.com. Julie leads dream groups herself, and she is a wonderful teacher and counselor. And you'll find her coordinates on the regional dream teachers page at my website, mossdreams.com. This is Way of the Dream with Robert Moss. We'll be back after the break.
Where can you find out about dreams and the dream world? MossDreams.com. At MossDreams.com, you can find out about Robert Moss, his work, and discover the way of the dreamer. Read numerous articles and essays on almost every facet of dreams. Find out Robert's class and workshop schedule. Read reviews, and so much more. Visit MossDreams.com to find your way of the dreamer. That's MossDreams.com.
Robert Moss has a deep engagement with the dream world, and now you can take a crash course from this master of active dreaming at your own pace. That's right. You can get Robert's 8 exciting half-hour programs on a new DVD set called Way of the Dreamer. Share Robert's story as a dreamer and dream healer. This dynamic 3-DVD set can help teach you how to find your way through your dreams to realize your full potential. Don't wait to learn the practical dreamwork techniques that can help you understand how to attain better health, emotional stability, spiritual awareness, and more. Order Way of the Dreamer DVDs today from Amazon.com or MossDreams.com. That's MossDreams.com.
We're HealthyLife.net, reaching and helping a worldwide audience without hype, without shock, and without shenanigans.
Welcome back. You're listening to Way of the Dreamer. This is Robert Moss, our wonderful guest. Julie Tamborello is a teacher of active dreaming, a creative, lively person, as you will know by now. She's in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And, Julie, I'm going to ask you if you have a story or a dream to tell me.
Yes, I do. It's from last night, actually.
Fresh meat.
Yes, exactly. So I am standing on the shore of a vast ocean, and next to me are my family members. So it feels like my sisters and my parents, and I'm holding up a big sign, and I'm facing the ocean. And, you know, I'm done doing whatever I'm doing by holding up the sign, and we start to walk along the beach. There's kind of a cliff behind us, and as we're walking along the edge, the waves are coming in, and I'm trying not to get my feet wet because I have socks on. And we need to walk about 10 feet to climb up a little bit of a ledge to get off of the beach. And as I'm starting to step up and avoid the lapping of the waves coming in, I drop the sign, and it hits the water, and I quickly take it out. And I look, and I notice at that moment that the sign is actually a picture of the ocean. And in that moment, I get the vision that I was showing the ocean a picture of my family. And I start to get really curious, like, why am I standing on the edge of the ocean showing the ocean a picture of my family? And after it gets wet, I realize I don't really even need this. And I start to look around, and there are other signs, and there were other people around me that were holding up signs, and we're all showing the ocean these pictures. And then I wake up.
Okay. So what starts in this dream?
Can you say that again?
What is the title?
The title of the dream would be Showing the Ocean Pictures on the Edge.
Pictures on the Edge?
Yeah, pictures on the edge.
Pictures on the edge. So what are your first feelings coming out of the dream?
My first feelings right away are curiosity. Also excitement, and I feel kind of a longing connection, so a slight tinge of sadness as well, feeling like I've lost some kind of connection and I want it.
Okay, we're going to do the reality check, but I need to ask a clarification question. When you described the sign, I thought I heard you say to begin with that the sign you were holding up looked like a picture of the ocean itself, and then you said it was a picture of your family. Is it one? Is it both?
Yeah, so once I drop it, it gets into the water, I can see it's a picture of the ocean, and yet I have this knowing that it was a picture of my family.
Okay, all right.
So visually it looks like the ocean, but I also know it's my family. Yeah.
It looks like the ocean, but it is your family. All right, thank you for that.
Yeah.
So you call it the ocean, and perhaps because I've been in your home territory, as you're telling it to me, I'm actually seeing Lake Michigan. Is it the ocean, or is it an inland sea?
It is definitely the ocean,
Definitely salt water.
Yeah.
Definitely
salt water.
Any idea where in the world this might be, or is it not in this world?
It feels like it's on the edge of something. I don't know. I've never been to this area before. And the ocean in front of me is very dark, and what's behind me is very dark. The only place that is lit up is what is on the edge of this ocean that I'm standing on.
Okay, a very edgy situation.
Mm-hmm.
And when you say your family is with you, is this your regular family?
Yeah, it feels like my sisters and my dad, who has passed, but he kind of feels like he's there, too. Yeah.
So there are people beyond the living family, and then there are other people, there are other families. There's quite a lot going on at this age, as I hear you. Do you recognize anybody else or anything else in the situation?
Nope, that's it.
In what sense, literally or symbolically, Julie, could you find yourself at the edge in life?
Oh, gosh. Well, I'm often at the edge. I actually feel like I am a person that lives on the edge in the transition. I mean, I'm looking at my drum right now, and all the feathers that I have on my drum are birds that live kind of, mourning doves that are right between, the sun coming up, gull feathers, which are also birds that live on the edge of water and land. To me, sunsets are like my favorite. And also I think just being a dream teacher, it's the edge between awake and asleep, and that is the best place to be. So,
So what do you want to know?
I'm just really curious about the whole dream. I'd love to get feedback on it.
Well, if it's my dream, first of all, I'm fascinated that I'm showing the ocean a picture of the ocean, and yet I know it's my family at the same time. That gives me the oceanic sense in a good way that my family is much bigger than I have recognized. I mean, in the family on the shore, there are the dead and the living. The dead are alive, of course, as well. So I'm recognizing that family is not just about people who are currently in evidence, but about all the family. But if I'm showing the ocean a picture of the ocean and I know it's my family, it's telling me that my connections are vast. They're vast and they're wide. I'm connected maybe ultimately to every form of life, certainly every form of human life that has existed on the planet since we came out of the primal waters. So it's expanding my sense of what my family, what my ancestry, and what my identity is. And as that expands my sense of that, it's making me feel that what I have to do in this world is about more than friends and family in a narrow sense, but reaching a lot more people. That becomes very important if I've taken on the role of a dream teacher, somebody who's helping to expand consciousness. The situation of being on the edge excites me. I like living on the edge. I'm reading a course myself right now called Living Your Mythic Edge. The boundaries, the edges of where interesting things happen in life. You take that risk, you put yourself at the edge, and more comes through and more powers come to support you. So I'm excited by the edginess of the situation. What I'm looking at, if it's my dream, with some self-mockery, Julie, if it's my dream, is that I'm wearing socks, not even shoes, I'm wearing socks,
right.
I'm going to get my socks wet, come on.
Right.
I know you, I must
right.
say that from my knowledge of you, you're not the kind of girl who's going to shy away from the water because you're wearing socks. So if
right.
it's my dream and I take it upon myself, why the heck am I concerned about getting my socks wet? Who cares?
Mm-hmm.
So. It's funny, it makes me think about where in life I might tend to shy away from a challenge because of something that is really quite trivial and quite unimportant. At the same time, socks are next to my soul, next to the soles of my feet, so there's significance there. Julie, we're going to take a break. So those are some of my first responses. What is your immediate reaction to what I said to you?
Yeah, I agree with you, especially the part about the socks. I hate
yes.
shoes. I hate socks. That is not like me at all. So
okay.
I totally agree with that. And then I actually have more to say about the living on the edge and the ocean.
All right.
So.
Well, let's hold that. We're on the edge of taking a break. So why don't we take our break? We're on the edge of a break. And when we come back from the break, we'll go back with Julie to discuss what living on the edge might be all about. You listen to Where's the Dream with Robert Noss, our wonderful live guest, is Julie Tamborello. And right now we're on the edge of vast oceanic possibilities. We'll be back after the break.
Robert Moss has a collection of books, audio, video, and DVD products that will help you bring the creative and healing gift of dreams into your everyday life. Revitalize your work and relationships and journey to the furthest reaches of your imagination. These books are tools that everyone can use to begin or enhance active dreaming in their lives. Visit mossdreams.com. That's mossdreams.com. MOSSDREAMS.com.
Since ancient times, indigenous people from every culture have used their dreams to help interpret their lives, the world around them, and the future. Now you can tap into this indigenous wisdom with Robert Moss's workshops and classes, all designed to help you learn more about you and your connection to the dream world. If you're interested in finding out about how to host a class or workshop in your area, email Robert at robert@mossdreams.com. Or to find out about Robert's ongoing schedule of classes and workshops offered worldwide, visit his website, mossdreams.com.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net, the radio network that brings positive talk with positive change to make your world a little better.
Welcome back. You're listening to Where's the Dreamer. Our wonderful lively guest is Julie umbrella, and we are on the edge, baby. We really are. Julie, you're going to say more in discussing your dream of being on the edge of a vast, dark ocean, about what it means to you in life to be on the edge. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, so, you know, I had this dream when I woke up this morning. I recorded it, and I've been thinking about it throughout the day, and what is, you know, what comes to mind when I think about being on the edge of the ocean? The first thing is the scene in the movie Contact with Jodie Foster. I mean, the movie is kind of long, and it drags you along and builds you up. But the best scene is at the very end when she's standing on the edge of the ocean with what appears to be her dad, but is something much larger than that. And so I resonate with that scene, and I feel like there's something in that that's similar to this dream.
Right.
And I'm reminded of, you know, I think there's an analogy of, you know, Source. And we're all drops that come from the ocean and then go back to it. So those are the two things that I think about when I think of the ocean.
Right. Well, in the history of evolution and in mythology also, we start with the waters. We come out of the waters. Creation on this earth begins in a primal, watery environment, and everything comes from that. So I feel in the darkness, the vastness of this ocean, a connection with that. Also, if my father, who is deceased, is in the dream, I'm going to be alert to the possibility that I might be able to have further useful contact with him. But because my family is oceanic, maybe my role as being announced in the dream is also to be a speaker for and to others who are on the other side of death, others who have gone into the darkness from an ordinary reality point of view in that way. So much to work with and play with in the dream. So is there some action you might now take?
Yeah, I think I can just talk about the socks again for a little bit. You had asked me the question right before the break. You know, maybe there's a place in my life where I'm on the edge and I'm feeling a little bit hesitant about it. And I really think that, you know, at this point in my life that I'm ready to, again, expand being a dream teacher, offering workshops, which, you know, I'm going to be doing coming up very soon. And I'm really ready to, like, take my socks off and, like, jump in the ocean, you know. And so my action plan, that leads into my action plan, which is really visualizing myself of really getting my feet wet more and diving in as far as, you know, offering more workshops and traveling more and just really expanding as a dream teacher. So that's definitely, I think the solid action plan, I know, you know, when we really set something in stone is when the magic happens with an action plan. So I've been thinking about scheduling a workshop in the next 9 months here in Ann Arbor, and people have been asking for it, and so that will be my action plan. In the next month, I'm going to get something on the books.
That makes me very happy because you are a fabulous dream teacher. I'd love you to be doing more of this. So the dream has maybe knocked your socks off.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you're going to make up a bumper sticker, an action phrase, what might that be?
Oh, I think I would. I love that. I'm going to be knock my socks off.
I really like that.
Well,
I'm ready to get my feet wet.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I could go with, you know, dive in, you know, feet first or something like that. But I really, when I think of knock my socks off, I'm visualizing myself, like, splashing in the ocean.
And maybe as soon as you get the chance, you're going to take your socks off and walk in the water somewhere, right?
Yes, I will be by Lake Michigan in 2 days. So
that would work. And since you are now becoming an international traveler, maybe you'll find yourself at the ocean somewhere, and you can do it in salt water as well. That would be a good plan, wouldn't it?
I will definitely do that. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, terrific. Okay. So, Julie, you are really a fabulous teacher of active dreaming, the original synthesis of dream work and shamanism. If you think about people that you work and play with and introduce some of our techniques to, What do you notice is helping them in their lives, or just giving an extra spark, a bit of juice in their lives from what we're teaching and offering? You're going to do more of this. You're going to offer more of this yourself. But when you think about what people are gaining from this and what they're seeking, what they're hungry for, that we can help to feed, what are some of the things that come to mind?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is, you know, I work, you know, in a hospital with physicians, and when people hear that I'm a dream teacher, that I'm passionate about dreaming, so many people are hungry to talk about dreams. I feel like there's kind of, we just don't have a dreaming society, and yet so many people have dreams, powerful ones that they want to share. And so, you know, just a couple of weeks ago, a physician heard I was a dream teacher and wanted to share a dream with me. So we met over coffee, and she shared these reoccurring kind of nightmares that she had been having. And after I took her through the lightning dream work process, you know, she had an action plan. And it was really, she's going through a huge transition in her life right now. She's moving. She's getting divorced. And this reoccurring dream kind of encapsulated all of that. And something simple is carrying around a matchbook with her in her pocket, you know, took the energy of that process with her. And I just saw her yesterday. It's been a couple of weeks. And she said, you know, she's feeling so much better, not completely resolved after one, you know, one cup of coffee, but she's just feeling so much more relief from it. So
that's,
I think,
terrific.
That, you know, that providing the space for people to be able to share and not feel embarrassed is the other thing. People often say, oh, I had this crazy dream, or, you know, it's way out there. And a non-judgmental space for people to be able to share and explore what's going on.
Well, this is so important, as we both know. I mean, we talk about all the reasons why people are either going through a dream drought or not able to do anything with their dreams. One of the prime reasons is we haven't had a socially acceptable and fun method of telling our story and being heard. And we haven't been rewarded. We haven't been encouraged. And when we do have a dream or something like a dream, we're sometimes embarrassed and shy, and other people don't know how to talk to us, or else they've tried to lay down the law and tell us what it's about. So we desperately need this very simple process, which is original to our school, the Lightning Dreamwork, by which we can open that safe space where we can receive each other's feedback without any authoritarian edge, without any fishing in expedition, to get into our private stuff and be guided towards some appropriate and helpful action. Now, you're talking about a physician who is troubled by recurring dreams. I think I'll wait until after the break to tell you the story of a physician, which is actually in my new book, my coming book, who told me a story at the breakfast table with great frustration and annoyance about how she kept having the same dream. Well, I'm often running, so I'll start it now. We'll see how the time goes. So she comes down to breakfast. She's one of our dream teachers. She's done all three levels of our training for teachers of active dreaming. And she's at the breakfast table, and although she's very well educated and very proper, she's using a lot of bad words. Oh, F this, no, F that, Robert, I'm having the same effing dream. And I say, well, tell me. She says, well, I'm going to have to take my medical exams again. I did them 30 years ago. I keep screaming that I've done this. Why do I have to do my effing medical exams again? And they're harder now because the subjects have changed, the new textbooks, and I'm absolutely not effing prepared. And she's very agitated. So I look at her at the table, and I say, look, dear. I say, I imagine that behind the curtains of life, crew that are making a movie for you, and they're frustrated because they have to keep making the same effing dream for you because you're not paying attention. This is so I'm slightly violating our process by taking it into a fantasy. I say, I imagine this group sitting up there in the gods of a cinema, watching the film set, watching the production crew making the same dream over and over again, and the whole group are ready to go on strike because so bored with making the same dream because you're not getting the message. And she starts laughing at the picture. She says, what would the message be? Well, my dear, you know, when dreams come again and again this way, it's because there's something we have to receive, And maybe if it's my dream, the message is I need to get ready for test in some other sense. And at that moment, it all broke open. There was laughter. There was humor. She looked at a new personal job situation coming up. She decided to deal with that, and the pattern of recurring dreams stopped. So I had to say that rather quickly. We're going to take a break. We're just discussing recurring dreams. Well, I'll go on with a little fantasy. Maybe it's a very true fantasy that there are production crews making dreams for us on the other side of reality. You're listening to Way of the Dreamer with Robert Knopf.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, this same technology is available to you. They have the best earthcasting coders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. earthchannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things, like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now, so come to earthchannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call earthchannel.com at 800-849-8978. That's 800-849-8978.
Robert Moss has a collection of books, audio, video, and DVD products that will help you bring the creative and healing gift of dreams into your everyday life. Revitalize your work and relationships and journey to the furthest reaches of your imagination. These books are tools that everyone can use to begin or enhance active dreaming in their lives. Visit mossdreams.com. That's mossdreams.com. MOSSDREAMS.com.
Since ancient times, indigenous people from every culture have used their dreams to help interpret their lives, the world around them, and the future. Now you can tap into this indigenous wisdom with Robert Moss's workshops and classes, all designed to help you learn more about you and your connection to the dream world. If you're interested in finding out about how to host a class or workshop in your area, email Robert at robert@mossdreams.com. Or to find out about Robert's ongoing schedule of classes and workshops offered worldwide, visit his website, mossdreams.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
You're listening to Way of the Dream with Robert Moss. Our fabulous guest is Julie Tamborello. I started telling a story which is actually fully told under a title like When the Same Dream Keeps Playing in my new book, Mysterious Realities, which will be officially published in October, subtitled A Dream Traveler's Tales from the Imaginal Realm. These are just those stories from life. They're from a life lived in many dimensions, many orders of reality, studded with synchronicity, flipping back and forth between parallel worlds. But this story came from the breakfast table from a physician who was frustrated by a recurring dream, and I just came up with the vision that there, amongst many kinds of dreams that we have, there are dreams that are crafted for us, scripted for us, by personal dream film companies on the other side of ordinary reality who are trying to get a message through to us. And we'll dramatize it and lay on the special effects, hoping we get the message. And they may be as bored and frustrated from their point of view as we are, receiving the same dream again and again, who takes so long sometimes to get the message. The way to end an unsatisfactory series of recurring dreams, which are often a recurring theme rather than exactly the same scene, is to face the issue in one way or another. Face it inside the dream, or apply the relevance of the dream to waking life. You dream, you have to face a test again and again. For example, well, life is a school. What is the exam? What is the assignment? What is the test you're being sent right now? So Julie works in the medical field. She works in a hospital. She's surrounded by people, patients, doctors, nurses, medical staff who have desperate need for all this and are receiving no help in general in their educational system or their team meetings or anything else in how to deal with this. But it is so important because dreams are medicine, aren't they? Dreams show us, for example, what's going on inside the body, give us a diagnosis, and they give us images that we can use to get well or stay well, and they show us maybe most important what the soul wants and how to keep more of soul in the body. So, Julie, thank you for doing the work that you are doing. I think it's contagious. I think simply by being a dream activist and enthusiast and dream ambassador as you are, you spread some light, you spread some interest, you get people fired up just by being on the scene. Can you tell us any more stories or thoughts that you have about bringing more of this into the hospital, the medical care situation?
Well, I think just being open and talking about it, you know. I mean, so when I lead my dream groups, I say to everybody in there, you're going to learn, you know, the lightning dream work process, and I'm going to have you lead people through it. So, you know, usually when we open up the group, I start by leading people through it, but as people come one or two times, I have them do it because I really do want to grow a dreaming society where people can share their dreams so that, you know, they feel just as comfortable as I do leading somebody through the lightning dream work process, because there's so much power in those steps and taking people through, give it a title, what are the feelings, you know, and the action plan especially. So, you know, I just have to say that, you know, I presented to the residents, which are basically like, you know, doctors in training, and I passed over really quickly, oh, by the way, I'm a dream teacher, and let me tell you about how to do a research study. And they stopped me and said, whoa, go back. We want to hear more about this dream, you know, this dream work that you're doing, not about, you know, how to be compliant in our research. So I think that there's a hunger out there for it. I think the generation, my kids' generation, both of my kids share their dreams and want to, you know, talk about it more. So I think the more we're open and we share our stories, the more we are going to build that dreaming society.
Yes, indeed. More power to you. Thank you for doing what you're doing in the context. It is it's a pandemic in our society that so many people have lost their dreams, or think they've lost their dreams, or even if they have something from their dreams of the night, they don't know where to take them or what to do with them. This is a very serious situation. In Iroquoian tradition, the tradition of the Unkwihonwe, the people of the Longhouse of the Northeast, it's traditionally said if you've lost your connection with your dreams, it's because you've lost a part of your soul. I'm actually old-fashioned enough, Paleolithic enough, to think that is true. If you really lost your connection with your dreams, it might be because you've lost the bright dreamer in you who might have gone missing because of what shamans call soul loss, and we all understand viscerally what it means. You lost, you know, the world was cold and cruel, part of you went away, or you made a compromise. You made a choice which part of you violently resisted, and the part of you that didn't want you to make that choice went away. And maybe as a result of losing some parts of your vital energy and identity, that beautiful young girl, for example, you lost your dreams because the dreamer in you has gone missing. So we know that this is a terrible complaint. We also know that the remedy is not hard to find. If we can just establish between friends, between colleagues, between acquaintances in the right way, a method of sharing stories, which the lightning dream work process gives us, which enables us to hear each other, support each other, offer non-intrusive feedback, and guide each other towards action, we can get it going again. Even someone who's lost their dreams for decades can be helped to work with a story of some kind. They can be helped to work with an observation of synchronicity. And sometimes we can help them to pull up a dream from long ago, a dream from childhood even, or a memory, and work with that and play with that, and in that way open a portal across time back to the younger self for whom dreams were not strangers. And so there's soul recovery healing available through all of this as well. It's so vitally important.
I have to say that, I mean, Robert, there's your book, Dreaming the Soul Back Home. That is a great wealth of resource on how to do that. So, and, you know, I just taught a workshop, Healing the Soul, where, you know, 20 people attended, and in 2 hours, I mean, a really quick workshop, but one of these physicians showed up and was able to, you know, find pieces of their soul, bring them back. and reclaim that vital
energy.
Amazing
how fast it could happen. In one of my recent online courses, we called it Dancing with the Bear, a phrase you're familiar with, I suggested in the very first class, we sang the bear song, Don't Cry, Little One, Don't Cry, Little One, the bear is coming to dance for you. I suggested to the 400 people in that course that under the aegis of Great Mother Bear, they could go back to a child self and comfort her and be present to her and share things with her. And my goodness, in a 90-minute first class, we had more than 100 reports of people accomplishing what I would consider to be real soul connection, maybe real soul recovery, healing, because they're empowered to go back to the memory or the dream of a younger self under the aegis of Great Mother Bear and do something with her and for her. I should just say, playing shameless soul promoter for a moment, I'm about to launch a new advanced online course for the Shift Network called Quantum Dreaming, where we marry some of the ideas of the new physics to ancient shamanic methods of dreaming and healing. Then you might want to look for that. There'll be information on my website, masterdreams.com. So let me just flag that as an adventure you might want to be part of. It's a big one. It's a long one. It goes deep. As I say, it marries the ideas of the new physics to very ancient ways of knowing and exploring and healing the deeper realities. Quantum Dreaming coming up on the Shift Network. Well, our wonderful guest is Julie Tamborello, dream teacher in Ann Arbor, Michigan. You have a chance to study with her. You will do really well. We'll be back basically to say thank you and farewell after the break.
Since ancient times, indigenous people from every culture have used their dreams to help interpret their lives, the world around them, and the future. Now you can tap into this indigenous wisdom with Robert Moss's workshops and classes, all designed to help you learn more about you and your connection to the dream world. If you're interested in finding out about how to host a class or workshop in your area, email Robert at robert@mossdreams.com. Or to find out about Robert's ongoing schedule of classes and workshops offered worldwide, visit his website, mossdreams.com.
Robert Moss has a collection of books, audio, video, and DVD products that will help you bring the creative and healing gift of dreams into your everyday life. Revitalize your work and relationships and journey to the furthest reaches of your imagination. These books are tools that everyone can use to begin or enhance active dreaming in their lives. Visit mossdreams.com. That's mossdreams.com, mossdreams.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Well, Julie, it's always fun to be with you. Do you have a last thought or fireball to throw at our listeners?
Oh, wow. Well, they can find me at dreamingjulie.com, and I would love to talk about dreams with anybody.
Yes, and they will be so glad to share with you. So thank you for carrying this fire so well. Thank you for your enthusiasm, your passion, your craft, your many gifts in this cause. Thank you for helping to midwife the rebirth of the dreaming society in our world and our time. It's time, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And thank you, Robert, for all that you do.
So, to everybody, may your best dreams come true, and may you remember them.